It's beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, friends. It's so good to be with you here at Bible Home Church. I want to read to you right away from the book of Jude in the Bible. It's just a little bitty book, but it is powerful. Verse 2 says, "Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied." You know, sometimes we do forget about the love of God and the love that we should have for others. I know in my ministry I've exposed a lot of evil in the world. I mean, you don't love evil, and I certainly don't. I don't believe God loves evil too, and we're not supposed to love and embrace evil, nor evildoers. But for those who are of the saints of God, love should be multiplied. And for the lost, we also should multiply the love. Jude prayed that, and Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John chapter 14, verse 27. You know, there's love with God. There is peace with God. Well, somebody sent me an email here before we, you know, we're going to continue our series today, Who Are God's Chosen People? But before we continue with that very powerful sermon, somebody sent me an email here, and, you know, I don't often tell jokes on the air, and some people just think I'm a humorless man. And they don't realize I'm like the Good Humor ice cream man, but possibly. My wife says I'm just a big fuzzy teddy bear, but evidently the people that I've exposed and unmasked, the secret societies and all of that over the years, and the immoral people in high places, even in some churches, they don't think that I'm a very, very friendly, nice guy. I remember going to a prophecy conference several years back in Little Rock, Arkansas, and a woman came up after I had spoken, and she said, "Tex, I have a request for you." I said, "Okay." She said, would you tell a joke or put a little bit of humor sometime in your newsletter?" I said, "Well, I why do you ask such a thing?" She said, "You know, people think you're just a mean, mean man." And I cracked up laughing. And she says, "But I'm seeing you here in person." She said, "You told a little joke before your talk tonight, and you several times you brought the audience to laughing, and you had a little humor." And she said, "And then your smile." She says, "Immediately when a person walks up to you to shake a hand, you immediately smile, and you're very friendly and likable. But," she said, "that does not come across in your newsletter. It's just hard, hard news." Well, you know, there is a time, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, for everything. A time for laughing, a time for dying, a time for crying, a time for planting, a time for harvesting. Well, in any case, maybe today we'll have just a little bit of humor. Somebody sent me an email here. Kids will be kids. And I have, as you know, grandkids, and they will be kids. And I love children very, very much. Some years ago, we started a ministry, Wanda and I, call the Association to Rescue Kids. We ran that, I guess, for, oh my, 2 or 3 years back in the 80s. And then we accomplished everything that God wanted us to accomplish, we felt like. We warned people about the new age in schools and many other things. I even wrote a book, a best-selling book called Ravaged by the New Age, Satan's Plan to Destroy Our Children. And so that organization doesn't exist anymore, but just wanted to emphasize to you the importance I place on our children. Well, I looked over this email, and, you know, I thought there were some pretty good little stories on here. I thought I'd share a few with you today, so you'll know that Tex Mars is not simply a mean, mean man nor the humorless man, but I can be the good humor man on occasion. I love good, clean jokes as well. Here's one about a wise little girl. You see, evidently a certain little girl, when asked her name, would reply, "I'm Mrs. Smith's daughter." Now, her mother told her this was wrong. Her mother said, "Your name is Tiffany Smith. That's what you must say." Well, the next Sunday, she and her mom went to, and dad went to church, and the pastor spoke to her in Sunday school and said, "Aren't you Mrs. Smith's daughter?" To which the little girl replied, "I thought I was, but my mother says I'm not." Now, that could cause some misunderstandings, couldn't it? Oh, well, she was told, "Don't say I'm Mrs. Smith's daughter." She said, "I thought I was, but my mother says I'm not." Here's another one. A Sunday school teacher asked her little children as they were on the way to church service, "And why is it necessary to be quiet in church?" she asked the kids. One bright little girl replied, "Because people are sleeping." I bet that made the pastor a lot glad when he heard that one. Kids have to be quiet in church because people are sleeping. Well, I pray you're not sleeping here. You're not going to bob off, go to sleep, as we're talking a little bit later on about who are God's chosen people. Here's one of a little bit of interest, just because of the biblical nature of it. This is a story called The Press Leaf. Happens that a little boy opened the big and old antique family Bible with fascination. He looked at the old pages as he turned them. Then something fell out of the Bible, and he picked it up and looked at it very closely. It was an old leaf from a tree that had been pressed in between the pages. "Mama," he went to his mama and told her, "Mama, look what I found." "Well, what have you got there, dear?" his mother asked. The little boy said, "Well, I think it can only be Adam's suit." Well, you know, little kids, when they read the book of Genesis and, you know, Adam and Eve fashioned themselves some clothing from vegetation, from leaves and such, this little boy thought he found Adam's suit there in the old family Bible. Well, enough jokes for today. I could continue with these all day. Maybe I will next time. If you like to hear some good humor on this program, you know, we want to hear the whole counsel of God. I assume that even Jesus, he was very sober-minded. And I think we have to take things very seriously because we do have lost souls, because there's so much evil in the world, and we must be a shining light. But I suppose that even Jesus smiled sometime and had a good laugh. Might have told a humorous story sometime, a parable of some type. We read in the Bible that what we find recorded in the Gospels is not everything that Jesus did. There evidently were many other miracles and things that Jesus did that were not recorded. So, who knows? Maybe he told a good laugh story sometime. Well, in any case, I'd like to read to you some news today. Some news. And in the form of letters here to Bible Home Church. It is absolutely wonderful to receive letters from you, and many of you have written us and let us know that you have received a blessing from Bible Home Church. And I just want to tell you how much I really do appreciate your letters. Actually, this is it is a letter from my good friend, Evangelist Don White. He's also pastor of a church. Now, you'll like this. He's pastor of Park Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona. Sounded really highfalutin to me, Park Baptist Church, when I first had the opportunity to meet Brother Don White. I said, "Park Baptist Church, well, how big is your church?" He said, "Oh, it's big." I said, "Oh, really?" He's, "Oh, my, my." And I thought he was talking about the auditorium, the facility. Well, as it turns out, talk about a little bit of a humorous situation, but a wonderful thing too. Park Baptist Church is called that because Brother White holds his worship services in the city park. In a city park. And it has quite an attendance there in Tucson, Arizona. And he sent me a letter, and he believes, you see, that the home church is the biblical method of assembly. In fact, that's exactly what he says. "Dear Brother Tex, praise the Lord for all the local churches, assemblies, missionaries, preachers, teachers, and evangelists who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide. God's word promised, as we assault the gates of hell, they will not prevail against us. We will see some saved. We prophesy from God's preserved word, the King James Textus Receptus, that those who refuse to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus will perish in the eternal second death of hell. Those who will repent and believe will be saved from the penalty of sin and that awful abyss. I thank God, Tex, for your defense of the simplicity of the gospel of Christ and his preserved word. He goes on to say, the Apostle Paul went from house church to house church. See Acts 20, verse 20. Consider this. Architects can draw a blueprint of Noah's Ark, the tabernacle, and the Temple of Solomon from the Scriptures. But when God wanted a structure to be built, he gave detailed instructions. These were only images he ordained for man to make, shadows of things to come. However, where in the Bible did Jesus command us to build fancy church buildings? Jesus gave himself for the church. If a building was so important, then why did he not tell us how he wanted it built? You know, I'm going to stop right there. That's sort of interesting. He told Noah exactly how to build the ark. God told Israel how to build the tabernacle. He told Solomon how to build the temple. There are precise specifications for the New Jerusalem that's to come. And yet there is no detailed instruction for how to physically build a church of God. And you know, Brother White may have a real key here. Maybe Jesus didn't really care about building big structures and Gothic cathedrals and edifices and crystal cathedrals and so forth. Pastor White goes on to say, if a building was so important, then why did he not tell us how he wanted it built? The answer is disturbing, he writes, to the traditional Christian, because it is so simple. The temple Jesus spoke of in the New Testament was our bodies. We need to work on our own selves. For collectively, when we assemble, we are the temporal aspect of the body of Christ. The spiritual aspect is all born-again believers. And most of the church is already in heaven. Think about that, friends. Most of the church is already in heaven. How could you ever invite and get all the church together? Well, you're not on this world. I'm telling you, friends, most of the church is already in heaven. Now, I know there are a lot of Baptists out there in particular and some others that say, well, I believe in the local church. Well, friends, I do too. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst thereof. Appears to me, home churches are just as good as a 50,000 person auditorium full of Christians listening to a Billy Graham crusade. In fact, might even be better. You know, broad is the way to destruction. And narrow is the path to salvation. Jesus himself talked about the broad and the narrow way. Well, I'm just going to read Brother White. He goes on, he says, read in Acts just why the first century church had favor with all the people. They were single-minded for one thing, and they had the gift of charity. Isn't that interesting? Well, we can go on and on with this. He goes on to say a home church pastor could abide by the word of God and grow biblically. As you ordain other house pastors who know the word enough to preach it, no novices needed, then the bishop goes from house church to house church like Paul did in Ephesus and elsewhere. What a novel idea. Imagine doing it the Bible way. House churches. Just like in the first century for the Christians. And Paul, the apostle, went from house church to house church. Well, the Roman Catholic Church has a billion members, cathedrals all over the world. But I'm telling you, friends, all you need is you and another Christian. And if you'll invoke the name of Jesus, he'll be there. And, you know, prayer accomplishes great miracles. Well, we've got a wonderful song for you today talking about where the church is. Here's a place where I want to go. Is it San Francisco? Oh, I'd be very unhappy there. I'd preach to them, and I'd probably make them very unhappy, too. the gays and all the others. Is it New York? No, no. It's Beulah Land. Talked about in the Old Testament. Beulah Land. That's where the church is, and that's where the church is going to be. Are you headed there? Well, the Blackwood Brothers talk about it, and this is a beautiful song. Now, at the end of this song, we're going to go right into our message for today. Mighty, mighty important issue. Who are God's chosen people? Right after this wonderful song by the Blackwood Brothers, Beulah Land.
God says here, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." So you have to be of the spiritual lineage of Isaac to be called of God. Verse 8 says, "That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God." Did you catch that? "These which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed." Here we get, it is not the flesh then that will save you at all. That is not the seed that God plants in you. He doesn't plant a little DNA and says, "Now that you've got DNA and you're Jewish, you're my chosen." He plants the seed that is the Word of God. That's the ones who are chosen, you see. Now here we have the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Has nothing to do with the flesh. Has nothing to do with race. It has to do with the promise. Those who believe in Jesus. And let's go a little further. Verse 15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now let's go to chapter 2 of Romans. Paul says something important. He says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. No respect of persons with God. Verse 12 says, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. You can go on and read a little bit more about that. Now, let's go on now to verse 28. Here again, Paul says it again. He repeats it. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Verse 29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Did you get what he's saying here? He is not a Jew who is a Jew outwardly. You can go to a Jewish person and you say, well, look, he has all the racial features of a Jew. And he can trace his genealogy all the way back to the tribe of Benjamin or the tribe of Manasseh or whatever. He's a Jew. He's God's chosen people, chosen race, chosen nation. But Paul said he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. And circumcision doesn't make him a Jew. Well, what does? He says it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the spirit. It's a matter of God. Well, now let's go on just a little bit here. Verse 28 of Romans 3 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. So here's Paul again saying, is God God of the Jews only? He's also God of the Gentiles. Now, let's keep going here. Let's talk about the promise, God's promise. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Did you get that into your heart? For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Remember before, Abraham believed and it was imputed to him for righteousness. So now we're saying, or God is saying, who has the promise? Who are the heirs of Abraham that have inherited the promise of God? The promise that he would justify you. The promise that he would glorify you. Who is that? He answers the question. It has nothing to do with the physical seed of Abraham. But it has to do with the righteousness of faith. And can only Jews be righteous through faith? No. Because God, it says, has no respecter of persons. But whosoever will shall be saved. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? Well, let's keep going. Verse 16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Did you know that Abraham is your father? You say, no, he can't be. I'm not Jewish. Really? Are you sure? Are you sure you're not of Israel? He said, well, no, I'm Hispanic. I'm black. I come from German extraction. I'm whatever. I'm Scottish. Well, that has nothing to do with that. It says here, it's by faith. What has your race got to do with faith? Do you have faith? Do you believe? If you believe, then God has imputed it to you for righteousness' sake. Because He wanted to do it for you. And He did it on the cross. I love that. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. What is the seed? Those who have the faith of Abraham. That's the real question. If you're of Abraham, then you'll have the faith of Abraham. And then it will be counted to you for righteousness. And that will be proof positive that you are the chosen. You're called. You know, the Jews of his time told Jesus, we're of our father Abraham. Jesus said, then why don't you believe in me? Because before Abraham was, I am. He said, Abraham saw my time and was glad. And then you know what Jesus told him? He said, I know that you are of the seed of Abraham. Now, he meant the physical seed. But you are of your father, the devil. Now, wait, hold it. They said, our father is Abraham. And they said, you have a devil in you because you're calling yourself God. They picked up stones to stone him, didn't they, to death? Jesus, he didn't deny that they were of Abraham's blood. He knew. From the foundation of the world, he knew exactly their genealogy. And he confirmed it. He said, you're right. You're of the physical seed of Abraham. You're right. But you're of your father, the devil, and his works you will do.
You have been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please tune in next week as Pastor continues this series entitled, Who Are God's Chosen People?
If you're thirsty and dry, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.